The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Welcome to hour number two. Big Show rolls on your Wednesday. It's May 25th, 2022. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault, live inside the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. It's an off day between games for the Flames as they get set for Game 5 tomorrow against the Oilers, a tough loss in Game 4. Their backs now officially against the wall. They trailed at best of seven series 3-1. 3-1 is also the series score in Denver as the Avalanche are one win away from clinching a spot in the Western Conference Final and finally getting over that second round hurdle. We'll see if Nathan MacKinnon and company can get it done tonight. A 6 o'clock start on Sportsnet and CBC, and the man who will be on the call joins us right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. He is Hunter Ryan Singh from Hockey Night in Canada. Mr. Singh, how are you, sir?
Doing well. Just got back into Denver yesterday and, getting ready for a big Game 5 tonight. As you mentioned, Colorado, they've been ousted in the second round in three straight playoffs. So you know they want this badly. And it's been a good series. Two really good teams to watch here in this one.
Hunter Ryan, I want to ask you this question because I think you're the perfect guy to answer it, and it's been the biggest talk in this series for the last couple of games. I'm just curious your thoughts and maybe what you've observed or maybe even, I guess, kind of can go along the same lines as Nazem Kadri. Everything he's faced the last couple of games and then come out with that gutty performance and a really good performance in Game 4 as he was a big part as the Avalanche won the game and are now with that 3-1 series lead. But just your thoughts on everything that's kind of been around Kadri the last, 72 hours or so?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like, where do I start? Because when it kind of came out that he was receiving threats and, racist comments, I've been the subject of racist comments too. And so, I feel his pain. And I think sometimes as a society and as the hockey world, sometimes we kind of just, we don't realize how much it can impact somebody. And it's not easy to carry that burden, especially when you are someone within the hockey world where you represent diversity. And, we don't have very much of it in the hockey world in terms of visible minorities, racialized communities. And so, this isn't the first time Kadri's had to face that type of thing, but I really found it, he was very candid post-game, talking about how that fueled his fire, and it was motivation for him. And that's what really happened in that Game 4, where Kadri wanted to prove those people wrong and send a message, right? And of course, he acknowledged, too, it's not all St. Louis Blues fans. But it was very interesting to me to hear him say those things because it's I can totally relate because, when I receive those messages on Twitter and Instagram, it does fuel my fire too. I want to be able to do a good enough job to prove people that I belong in the hockey world. And so you carry this extra burden on you when you are from, a unique community. You know you are representing your entire community in the hockey world. And so people like Kadri, people like myself, even though I'm not a hockey player, but I'm just a broadcaster, I put extra pressure on myself to perform. And sometimes that can be a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing too. So in Kadri's case, he handled it well. He was very open and honest about it. And I'm glad his wife actually put it out there because there was people who were skeptical, like, we don't really believe media reporting things anymore. And when she put it out there, it's there for everybody to see and just, how ignorant and how horrible people can be out there in the world.
Now, in terms of the on-ice, you mentioned it, how good he was. I mean, just overall, in terms of a learning experience and the maturity shown, it's been, kind of a rewarding type playoff for Nazem Kadri, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's been a fascinating season for him. I was talking with my color commentator, Louis DeBrusque, about this, that Kadri seriously had a shot at hitting 100 points this season. He had a career-high 87 points in the regular season, and that was only in 71 games played because he got hurt by the end of it. But yeah, he's having a heck of a, he's just continued on where he's left off from. He also realizes, of course, you know, you can't ignore his history in terms of a hockey player and the suspensions he's had. He's had history with the St. Louis Blues team. Just last season in the playoffs in round one, he took out Justin Falk and Kadri was suspended 8 games. And I have no problem with people who have an opinion about his play and his game. But just to go back to what we were talking about, one more thing on that is, like, you know, regardless of your opinion of a hockey player and regardless of your opinion of a hockey play on the ice when, you know, he was in the collision with Rosen where Binnington got injured on the St. Louis side, regardless of your opinion of those plays, there's no place for, you know, people to make despicable racist comments to him and stuff. That has no place in our game. That is wrong, and it's wrong in our society, in our world too. And I think Kadri is the type of player who now realizes, you talked about maturity, he realizes that he has to play a certain way so that he can stay in the lineup and you know, play right along that line because he's more valuable to his teams. You could make an argument that the Toronto Maple Leafs could have gotten past the Boston Bruins in one or two of those series had Kadri stayed in the lineup, and the same way last year with Colorado losing him, you know, they didn't have him in the second round. And so he knows that, and the Colorado Avalanche, Jared Bednar, they've talked about that with him. And so I think this is the way now he can kind of show his worth, and he is totally proving his worth as a player.
I'm not sure how many Avalanche games you called this season in the regular season, Hunter Ryan, but as you watch this series play out, we talk about that second round hurdle coming into this interview. How impressed have you been with the 4 games and what you've seen with your own 2 eyes with this Avalanche team who, going into the year, were kind of that Stanley Cup pick for a lot of people?
Yeah, you know, I was really fortunate to call a few of those games from an Alberta perspective, some Flames Avalanche games that were really, really good this season, some Oilers Avalanche games that were also fantastic. And one of the things that I think Colorado, obviously everybody knows about their speed and skill and their offensive prowess, but they're actually quite good at defending, and that's what they're proving in this series. I mean, St. Louis, they're no slouch. This is a veteran, a heavy team. They still have a number of holdouts who were a part of the 2019 Stanley Cup Championship team with them. They added Buchnevich, Saad, Letty, two of those three additions for this season in the playoffs are cup winners as well. So, you know, the Blues are a team that like to play that grinding game, and they're a heavy game. And Colorado, obviously, speed and obviously, you know, the tenacity on the offensive side of the game is what their asset is. But they are defending so well. And that's one of the things I found so interesting that we talk about Cale Makar so much, obviously, a Calgarian, obviously a former Brooks Bandit, and shout out to my town, my hometown of Brooks, Alberta. But Cale Makar has really proven that he can defend, and he can defend well against the opposition's top players. And that's what Jared Bednar was asked about this. What do you think is the biggest improvement in Makar's play? And that's what he keyed in on, that playing better defensively and going to battle against the other team's top players has actually made Makar a better offensive player because he has the puck more and he's more composed. And the other thing I would add to answer your question, Will, is the maturity overall as a team. I would say Nathan MacKinnon has matured. Jared Bednar, as a coach, knows how to deal with these situations when you've been through those disappointments, 3 straight years, second-round loss. The team has matured. Makar was candid about it, talking to the media, saying that in the past we would have let a loss really bog us down. It would bog us down. It soured on us, and we let it bother us too much. And he goes, it doesn't feel like that this season. And so those are the things that I would say. I think that they are ready to take that next step, and it has to do with playing a better defensive game as well, but also just maturity.
He is Hunter Ryan Singh. He'll be on the call tonight on Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet Avalanche and Blues Game 5 from Denver at 6 p.m. this evening. Logan.
Hunter Ryan, I wanted to ask you about the opposition for the Avalanche, the Blues, and I wanted to start in goal with Jordan Binnington, because an interesting story for him to, you know, sort of have to battle with Huso all year long for the net, and then sort of took over in that Minnesota series, looked like he was leading them the right way. Then the collision happens and he's out of the series. It's tough to see anybody leave a series like that, but I guess what have you seen from St. Louis since they've had to go to Huso, and how big of a loss is it for them to lose Binnington?
Yeah, you know, such a fascinating situation because they, as you mentioned, split duties during the regular season, and Huso was the starter in the playoffs in round one against Minnesota. He actually had the shutout that game, and then as soon as Binnington comes in, when Huso started to struggle, Binnington never looked back. I mean, he had 51 saves in game one, in a game where St. Louis had no business being in that game, and they were able to take it to overtime because of him. He had sparkling numbers. He rose to the occasion, and he plays the puck quite smartly in terms of the dump and chase moments. He's able to find nifty ways to get the puck to his defenseman. That's a big change with Huso, who is a good goalie, but you know, less experienced. And it takes sometimes a while for goaltenders, for any younger, inexperienced players, to figure out how to play and deal with the pressure of the playoffs. And Huso has looked good at times, but not for an entirety of a game. And I think that is, the loss of Binnington is huge for the Blues. They're also without Torrey Krug as well. And so, you know, they've had to use Callie Rosen in their defensive unit. Scandella's coming in tonight. They've been playing at 11-7 because Krug was their power play quarterback, and they have this young guy, Scott Perunovic, quarterbacking the power. But their power play's been their greatest asset. They scored eight straight playoff games with a power play goal, and now their stats are, they have the top power play in the playoffs right now for St. Louis. So, I mean, but the Binnington factor is huge. Like, I mean, as much as they want to say they have confidence in Huso, it's a big change in how they have to do their breakouts. But also just Binnington's a confident guy, right? And I think it rubs off on the rest of the team.
It's funny when you were talking to Will there about Nazem Kadri and you mentioned sort of the maturity that's come into his game. I wonder if Jordan Binnington still is trying to find that himself in the NHL, and you've seen instances, you know, with him and the San Jose Sharks, and you know, sort of swinging the stick, and of course, as you'll know, the water bottle toss that got a lot of attention while Nazem was doing his TNT hit. I guess what have you seen out of Binnington? I know he's out of the series, but it kind of immediately struck me as a correlation between the two and the word maturity.
Well, you know, he's got a bit of Ron Hextall in him. Let's say that.
Yes.
You know, he's got a personality. I don't actually mind it. It makes it entertaining. You know, the water bottle thing. I mean, luckily he didn't hit Kadri with it, and it wasn't a full water bottle. It could have been a lot worse. I actually walked by the water bottle, took some pictures in that hallway as we were leaving the arena, right? Because everybody was talking about it right away. But yeah, it's a really interesting personality, and I think those types of players, in terms of, it's one thing for us to look at it from a media or a fan perspective, but in terms of the dressing room, I think those types of personalities that actually probably bring players together. I know the Flames fans have experienced it with Mike Smith and how driven he is. The Oilers are experiencing it with him too. I mean, players like those types of goalies, or they like those types of players who have that personality where you have this extreme desire to win. You're so ultra competitive, and you want to do whatever it takes, right? And you're not going to take no for an answer. And Ville Husso, from what I have heard, he's an opposite personality. He's much more quiet. You know, he talks probably more to Nico Mikola on the team because of their native language and things too. So the Blues do feed off of Binnington's personality. He's still there in the arena, but they were a different team with him on the ice, and it's been a huge factor in the way this series has turned.
You mentioned him before. He's been skating a couple of days now, but how big would it be for the Blues to get Torrey Krug back? Because I sort of look at this group, Harn Ryan, as a group of defenders more so than, say, an individual superstar that leads the pack. Maybe that was the way when Alex Pietrangelo was in town, but I look at them as defending more as, you know, three pairings, or sometimes the 7D that they roll with, than, say, you know, being led by a top defender. I guess how big would it be if they're able to get Krug back at some point this series?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a tremendous addition to the team because he's so skilled, and I think they do miss him. The one interesting part about that, though, is that they've been able to continue to be really strong in the power play. David Perron talked about it just before the last game that he himself misses Krug, and there's a chemistry that a few of the forwards and Krug have developed. And yeah, it's a tremendous loss. And, even when he was injured in round one, I don't think Craig Berube, he didn't hide, in his comments. He said, yeah, this is a big loss, going to be tough to overcome. They've been able to get to this point. They've made certain adjustments, like especially after game one, the Blues really changed how they break out of their zone. Instead of just dumping the puck out of their own end and feeding the Avalanche transition, they've tried to carry the puck out more and make sure they get it behind the Avalanche defense. So they've had to make some adjustments. They worked in game two, but Colorado, you have to give them credit. Even Jared Bednar said it himself. He goes, people don't give us enough credit for how physical we are, and that's what we've really seen in this series. The Colorado Avalanche have also, they've brought in Lehkonen. It's helped their top six forward group, and Andrew Cogliano, a veteran forward on the fourth line. So they've got some more leaders there to try to help them get through this hump of the second round, and so far it's been working.
Where do you feel the series is heading into tonight? I look at this Blues team, and I think it's a veteran group with a lot of Stanley Cup pedigree still in it. I feel as though this is a crucial one. If you're Colorado, you'd like to put them away tonight on home ice and not give this team any sort of momentum for Game 6 in St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, for St. Louis, they need some players not named David Perron to start scoring, right? I mean, he has 9 goals these playoffs. He's been incredible, but the Blues have had so many players in the regular season who had career years. I'm talking Barbashev, Buchnevich, Kyrou, Thomas, the list goes on. Like they had younger players step up and they had amazing seasons, but it hasn't all translated into the playoffs. I mean, except for Kyrou, who has, 5 goals, and Tarasenko's been quiet this round as well. So they have a number of guys they need to get going. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to be tough because, as you mentioned, Colorado, they're ready for this moment. I just don't see them taking no for an answer. The way they've come out with a response in each period. And the crazy thing is, in round one, it was so much about, for it didn't matter what series you were looking at, whoever scored the first goal was winning the majority of the games. Well, in this Avalanche Blues series, the Avalanche haven't scored the first goal in any of the games, but they've had no kind of challenge coming back into it. They've been able to start off each period after that when they've been down. They start off real well. And so I think, yeah, for the Blues, they need to get some of their guys going. But then in the other case and then they also need to get more traffic in front of Kemper. I haven't really had to, maybe twice I've felt in this series where I've had to say, like, a fantastic or tremendous save from Kemper. But they haven't tested him all that much. So they need to do a few more things well tonight if they want to extend the series.
Before we let you go, I'm just curious in terms of for you and being able to be in the seat you're in these playoffs. It's been pretty awesome. Obviously, you've been doing great work going all the way back to the COVID bubble. But also, what's with you and the weather? I mean, you're in the sunshine in the ballpark, and then all of a sudden a foot of snow. Like, what's today like in Denver?
Today it's beautiful here. We escaped the snow. We flew out just before, but I actually that day my flight after that ballpark that we went to a Rockies Giants game, and the day after there the snow was in the forecast and they got a foot of snow, and my flight was basically the last one to leave. It was such a hot day the day before, and then we had to get de-iced on our airplane to get over to St. Louis, but similar to Calgary too in that sense. But for me, sitting in this seat, second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, such a thrill, such a dream come true for me. I had 14 seasons on Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, and now to be here, it's incredible. And I'm so grateful, and I have to pinch myself every day that I'm getting to do this, but it's, yeah. And to be honest with you, it's you guys as well, Will and Logan, I've been listening to you guys on the Fan 960, because I live in Calgary and I've been listening to you guys for years and years, and you guys have your own show in the afternoon. I'm proud of you guys. You guys do a fantastic job too. And it's great to see the success that you guys are having as well.
Well, that's very kind of you to say, and you are killing it. We love having you in that seat. Can't wait for your call tonight. Before we let you go, though, I'm curious, have you been able to keep an eye on what's going on in your home province right now?
How can I not? Oh, my goodness. You know, when the Flames went on their run in 04, I was working in Toronto and staying up till like 3, 4 in the morning with the time difference to watch all those, playoff game, overtime matchups and everything, too. So, of course, I've been keeping it very close. I have such an entertaining series back and forth, so many storylines. Yeah, it's great time for hockey in Alberta, for sure.
No doubt about it. Hunter Ryan, have a great call tonight. Thanks for taking some time, and we'll be watching tonight at 6 p.m. Avalanche and Blues, but thanks for this today, my friend.
Thanks, Hunter Ryan.
Yeah, take care, guys. Thank you for having me.
Hunter Ryan Singh, you can listen to him, play-by-play voice, of course, on Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. He'll be on the call tonight from Denver, Avalanche and Blues, Game 5. What does your gut tell you? Is it over?
I think we're going 6.
If they go 7, spicy, then it's all of a sudden dangerous. But
that's the last place you want to be if you're Colorado.
I think the last place you want to be, too, is going back on a plane to St. Louis. But you think that's going to happen? So I'll go on the other side. I think it's
a veteran group. It's just I can't get – I have a lot of respect for teams that have that Stanley Cup pedigree. And I feel like St. Louis is one of those teams with – when you've got O'Reilly, you've got Shen – you know, I feel like they can. Yeah. I don't think they're winning the series, but they're just not easy outs when you've got in your lineup.
I don't think it'll be an easy out, but I do think that they are overmatched in the series against the Avalanche.
Sure.
And in Denver, where it's been hard to win all year, I think the Avalanche are going to end this thing tonight, but that's why they play the game. 6 p.m. Sportsnet and CBC this evening. When we come back, a special guest, one we don't talk to a lot, looking forward to that conversation coming up in the next segment.
Lou.
Before we go, though, I know we talk to Lou every day, and I love those conversations, but we're not bringing Lou back. We're bringing on somebody completely different. But before we get there, let's hit it, Azam. It's time for your chance to win your way into Game 5.
Do you want to sit lower bowl at the Saddle Dome to see your Calgary Flames? Here's your Flames playoff code word.
Well, I will say this. You've just heard it about 9 times in that intro. The code word today, 960-960, your first and last name on the text. It's the Peter Maher catchphrase. Yeah, baby, is the code word for today. 960-960, first and last name on the text. Every text you enter, we'll put you in the draw to win your way into Game 5 tomorrow in the lower bowl. We'll give those tickets away on this program tomorrow.
Does spelling matter?
Because I've seen a lot of different versions. I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure. Don't think it matters.
No, we don't make those kind of executive decisions.
We don't. I'm making it right now for them, and I'm going to say it does not matter. He's Logan. I'm Will. Big Show rolls on with a special guest next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Our number 2 rolls on. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. Stanley Cup playoffs continue tonight, 6 p.m. Only one game on the schedule because the Lightning have swept the Panthers. At the same time,
ruin everything.
As much as we are loving the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's like we are getting closer to the one game a night.
I'm okay with that. The conference finals are fun because it's just one
game.
As long as we have hockey.
All at 6
okay.
o'clock?
Yeah.
So you can get behind that. There's no more 8:30s. This is the last round we'll have that. So
we hope.
There is that. Well, they don't ever do it at 8:30. Well, that's the only game. That never happens. Having trouble connecting with our next guest, which is really too bad. Had it all planned out, Logan. I was going to surprise you and everything. It's too bad.
Welcome to live radio, folks.
That's right. That's right.
That's how it goes. Text somebody and your time's mixed up or somebody's doing something. It's Azam's fault, let's be honest.
It is. He didn't have his times right today either, so.
Oh.
Hey, but
that's a low blow.
Scores a couple goals in beer league last night. Thinks he's Wayne Gretzky. It's unbelievable. I've texted him, so we'll just wait to get a reply. We are trying to connect with Cabby Richards.
Cabby!
Sportsnet Bets. Been a big part, obviously, of the Hockey Night in Canada coverage as well. So we're trying to connect with Cabby, and while we do that, let's just, I guess, give your thoughts on the Avalanche and Blues. We've already discussed that, and, you know, this is a team that I think, just jumping off of what we talked about with Hunter Ryan, you look at this Avalanche team and how good they've been on home ice this year. It's a tough spot to be in.
It is. It's not ideal for St. Louis to be down in this series heading to Colorado for Game 5. But again, if you're the Blues, you're playing this off as, hey, the pressure's on Colorado. We're not supposed to be in this. We win today. We're going back to St. Louis for Game 6. Right? I mean, that's how you have to look at it if you're Craig Berube and company. Is if you get through tonight, you probably like your chances because you're going home for Game 6, right? Mm-hmm. And then Game 7, you say anything can happen. It sounds cliche, but I mean, that's how I think you have to present these kind of opportunities to yourself.
We'll find out what the Blues can do. On the road, not an easy place to win. As you go back to the regular season, the Avalanche, one of the best teams on home ice all season long. Talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs, everything he's doing with Sportsnet Bets. We are now joined by Cabral Richards. You know him, you love him as Cabby. He joins us right now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Cabby, thanks so much for jumping on. How are you, man?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you, fellas? How are you guys feeling after last night? Wow. Have you guys done a vibe check, a temperature check?
Yeah, it's you know, it's not quite sky is falling. The sun did come up, but yeah, it's certainly it's getting close. I mean, the tough thing I think, and what makes the gut punch even larger, is the fact that you were down 3-0, came back, and then still found a way to lose.
Yeah, that high stick, man, was. It could be the costliest high stick in this particular playoff series, man.
Did Sportsnet Bets have an over-under on goals scored from 130 feet out, or is that is that a new prop bet we have to get going?
I don't think that prop is in the marketplace, but maybe after last night it needs to be, just as one of these novelty props offered once a game. Will there be a goal scored from over 100 feet, 130, 150? You know, whatever it is, that's pretty funny.
You ever seen anything like that, Cappy?
Not in a playoff game. I think I've seen, we've seen goalies score on empty netters, correct? But I think that's the closest to something that, quite like that. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. Like, Mike Smith is a dude who, like, has had his, not his mentals question, but I feel like anecdotally, he's a guy that people say can get rattled. And once that goal goes in, I just immediately said to somebody in the room, I was like, man, this guy's got to be rattled right now. Cause he said he lost sight of the puck. Obviously, like you're not expecting a shot on goal from that far away. And then some bodies in his line of sight and then boom. But, I felt for him in that moment.
As we go on through these playoffs, Cabby, I mean, how popular are prop bets versus game bets? I know over-under's been a big thing in this second round. Outside of the Calgary-Edmonton series, it feels like every series is hitting the under, but how are the betting trends right now in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
You know, people do lean heavily on player props because they do know the players, and if you catch a guy on a heater like Zach Hyman, I'm sorry to bring up Oilers. Okay, let me go to the other side. Guys on a heater like Mika Zibanejad, not quite a heater. Hold on, let me think of who's on.
What about
a heater?
Cale Makar, Calgary boy, Cale Makar.
Okay, yeah, Cale Makar. He's Landeskog, and MacKinnon all have 5 goals. David Perron had like sneaky 8 goals. So when you catch players on a heater, Yeah, that's an attractive proposition. The goals have been trending to the under, but I haven't looked today. I'm sorry, at like where the public is putting most of their, like, what percentage of their bets are being wagered on the totals, and what percentage of the handle or the money is being wagered on the totals, the over under. So I don't have an answer for you right now, but it's in my circle of friends, and what we've been seeing on SN Bets is just there are a lot of parlays that we're getting with player props, and then some sides too, whether it's Colorado on the money line or the Rangers on the money line, et cetera, et cetera.
It's weird. We just the phone's been ringing here off the hooks. They found out Cabby was on the line on the show. Cabby's with us right now from Sportsnet Bets. You see him, you love him every night on Hockey Night in Canada. And all of a sudden the phone lit up. We got a special caller. Go ahead, caller one.
Speaking of heres, I mean, there's no better here than Cabral Richards at Ryerson Radio Sports Network 1997.
How is this even possible? How is Burke's on your show? This is tremendous. The stars have to be in a certain alignment, or there have to be some exploding stars galaxies away for this to be this convergence of two guests who were Ryerson students who are lifelong friends. Like this is pretty. So was Virk regularly scheduled to be on your program?
No, so Virk comes on every Thursday with us, and I texted Virk like 2 hours ago, and I said, "Hey man, Cabby's coming on our show today." He goes, "Oh my god, that's amazing! Calgary legend Cabby Richards," and he says, "Do you want me to call in and be a mystery caller?" And I said, "That would be fantastic." And here we are, the stars have aligned. And it's funny, Cabby, you bring up your days at Ryerson. Virk was telling us a few months ago, you guys were in Toronto for a college friend's wedding, and yeah. you called out Virk saying, "Hey, we're not the score anymore, man. Like, pay for your flights. Why are you driving here? This is ridiculous."
He said that. Well, listen, you can leave. You have to bring everything into the public discourse, Virk. But yes, that's true. I was lambasting him. Listen, he drives a nice car, but I was lambasting him for like, bro, you can spend the $600 flying from Newark to Toronto. Like, it's not, at most it's 600, it's 600 return. But I think he enjoyed, you know, sitting back in his nice SUV and making the drive through the Appalachian Mountains or whatever the mountain range is over there to get from Jersey to Toronto. But it was wonderful to see him. He must be so stoked. Yeah, and yeah,
before we go any further, it's great to catch up. But you're going to be bamboozled by our following guests. Not only are the stars aligning, you and I joining right now, a couple of foremost members of Radio and Television Arts, RTA, at the University of Fort Myers Ryerson. But wait for this mystery guest I got for you now.
I was just in Sweebert for the weekend, and nobody there knows anything about bets, prop bets, player bets, but they sure love their gab. They send lots of love to Gabby.
You're with John Nadelin right now?
Yes.
This is too inside baseball. Guys, the people in Calgary are like, what the hell is going on right now? This is too inside baseball. And I know that's a term you love, Virk. And I know you love watching Aaron Judge just smash the cover off the dead ball that's sitting in humidors or whatever. This guy's been amazing. But that's too, Jane Atz, I love you. This is too inside baseball for the Fan 960 crowd.
All right, I'll bring it back full circle and just say, in our great times at Ryerson together, I love it. I'm so proud of Cab. Listen, as he knows, high day in Canada, he is dominating the betting space. Everybody's betting all the money you have. Bet your mortgage, bet your home.
No, don't do that. No, bro, what are you talking about? No, that's not the messaging that we want. Bet your mortgage, are you crazy? We're talking about dipping your toes in. A dollar here, $2 there. We're not trying to have people have their lives changed because they're emotionally attached to the Flames who are down 3-1.
How about the
Bet, your life will change. Listen to Cabby and your life will change.
How about the irony of a guy who won't even buy a plane ticket to Toronto saying bet your mortgage? I mean,
right?
it's unbelievable.
Well, don't bring logic into this. I'd like to point out as well, when Cab and I were back watching NFL games together at St. Louis, neither of us were degenerates. Neither of us knew anything about the gambling space. We were too poor to bet at that time.
Well, that's
true. I think what we did was fantasy football or fantasy baseball at that, the fantasy hockey at that time. I don't think fantasy football had really been that big when the Titans played the Rams in the Super Bowl in 2000. It didn't quite explode like it is right now. It's super commonplace.
Well, and maybe that's a good lead in, Cab, just in terms of how you got to your role that you're in right now and maybe the path to get to, you know, where you are in the gambling scene. When did it become front of mind for you and just the explosion overall, not only in the in Canada, but also in the United States and North America as a whole?
Well, I recognize that not everyone is into gambling and not everybody is into sports betting. Most Canadians who are into sports betting do it just for entertainment or do it in like a group setting and just it's casual. There are the hardcore bettors, but there are more people who have sort of like a mild interest in it. And as I said, do it casually. Super Bowl, they might, you know, bet on some novelty props and stuff like that. When I went to Las Vegas in 19 and I worked for Bleacher Report, that was a full immersion in betting culture because our office was in the Caesars Palace Casino and Hotel. So every day I was walking past slot machines, poker rooms, and our stage was in the sports book. So I was exposed to it every day. And every couple of months, there was another state that would legalize sports betting. It started with 7 and then it got to 12 and then it got to 19. I believe it's at 30 now in the United States, and in Canada, it's obviously federalized with Bill C-218, but not every province has jumped in all the way that Ontario has with, I believe, 22 licensed operators outside of the Ontario Lottery and Gaming Commission. So it's growing in popularity. It's not quite mainstream yet. And, you know, SM Bets, our motto is like, we want to have fun with you. We want to celebrate with you, but we're not, unlike Burke, we're not telling people on what to bet or like how much to bet. We're just part of the culture. And if you are betting $1, $2, nobody is shaming the size of your units or your bankrolls. We just want to have fun with you as another element to enjoying the sports that we love.
So size doesn't matter, Cabby, is what you're saying.
That's a new phenomenon. Rather than fat shaming, we now have gambling shaming. I love this. So $1, $2, we'll accept all buckets. It's all good.
See, this
is... No. We're not shaming the size of bets over here. No, absolutely not. It can even be 50 cents. Like, it doesn't matter. Nobody's saying, hey, let me see your phone. Let me see your account. Oh, I guess maybe your friends do, but like... No one really cares how much you're betting on, you know, on the Blues and the Avalanche or the Orioles and Yankees. I mean, we're just doing it for fun, and it's a nice little layer to watching sports. When you have a little skin in the game, it feels like it amplifies your enjoyment. But that's just my line of sight on it. It's not for everybody.
See, it's interesting, Cabby, because we talked to Virk on Thursdays, and we call him our life insider because we talk about pretty much everything.
Well, he tells us to bet our mortgage.
Yeah,
so
he's like, get your college funds and bet it on the Yankees tonight. He's got inside info from Booney that's helping him. But we don't talk about betting with Virk very often. It's probably one of the few subjects we don't touch on. Virk, are you in this space at all? Like, have you ever? Now, I know we're not on the same payroll as you are with, you know, 7 jobs, but how often do you, like, you put a few shekels down here and there? What's going on?
We are under a very strict policy, Logan, at MLB Network. We are forbidden to gamble on the sport of baseball. So nothing on baseball whatsoever, because like you said, I've got a few friends in the biz. We have a little inside info, so I can assume from that. But I'm technically allowed to gamble in other sports. But like Cab said, I'm more of a kind of a consigliere. I like to give advice to others. I'd rather give advice to people on where to gamble rather than do it myself. But I love the fact Cab put out a list on SM Bets, which is like 50 things you've done. And actually, the higher list than that, I was at 18, Cab. I mean, the one I was proudest of is buying a program. And there was one there about buying tickets from a scalper, which specifically he and I did not do. But we went to the Subway Series in 2000, and a father and son were walking out and handed us their tickets to go, here you go, guys. I'm like, all right. So it was not a scalper. It was a very generous man who was at that World Series game for us.
That's awesome.
That's a fact. And we saw the Mets. Oh, they won that game. They game 3. These people left in like the 6th inning. Like, what? Like, you need to beat the traffic that much? And I think Benny Agbayani had a double down on the right, the left field line.
Great
and
memory.
We saw the only game that the Mets won because they lost 4-1 in that series. But it was tremendous. See, Virk, here's the thing about Virk. He's a world-class orator. And he can sell friggin' water to a whale. But, like, when it comes to him actually tapping his bank card on the point-of-sale terminal or, like, downloading an app and spending money on anything outside of the streaming services or popcorn and orange crushes for his kids when they go see the latest Marvel movie or whatever, Burke's not really that guy. So he talks a big game, but then when it comes to actually spending money,
oof.
I.e. driving from oof. One country to the other versus flying and saving time, Burke's not going to be that guy.
Oof.
And Cav's better point is just how technologically inadequate I am. As you said, downloading an app and deciphering that already, I'm struggling at that point. I'm like, can I just pay cash with this? If I can pay cash and feel great about this, I'm going to leave because we've hijacked enough. I just want to tell Cav, we are going to see Mr. Saturday Night Tonight on Broadway. That is one of our movies. You're with us in spirit, my man. David Paymer.
It is one of our favorite movies. And enjoy the show, fellas. I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Excellent. Proud of all your success. Will, Logan, I'll talk to you Thursday.
Yeah, okay. See you, Burke.
Wow. The whoever's listening right now driving around on...
They're like, what just happened?
I don't know, Deerfoot or whatever. Just like, what was that tornado? What was that hurricane of activity on your guys' show?
Yeah,
so, it was wonderful for me, and I appreciate whoever is still listening. Thank you, because that was fun to go down memory lane for 7 or 8 minutes there.
I love it. We did kind of talk about kind of the birth and you know how you got into this space, but just overall big picture. I know we talked to you when you launched or when SN Bets launched. Where are things at right now, Cabby? And certainly, as you mentioned, you know Ontario is kind of exploding right now with sports gambling. But overall, where are things at with SN Bets right now?
Still growing, man. Still we get a lot of enthusiastic people engaging with the accounts, be it on Twitter or Instagram. We are, you know, we're a blank space, and we're growing with the audience. We're trying to like collect people who have an interest in betting from across the country, and our social accounts are very much the tone and the voice of like young enthusiastic people that like betting for entertainment, not necessarily to make a living from it or money off of it, like our counterparts in the UK and in America. Like the UK is the most mature sports betting market, as sports betting has been legal there for, I think it's 15 years. And then the US it's been about 5. And then here it's, what are we? We're like, I guess technically almost a year old, but really, effectively, it's been the past few months. So there's a lot of energy and enthusiasm around it. And we're still coming up with ways to, you know, to galvanize the betting community. I'd love to, you know, listen, if there was a game 7, I would love to be in, what do you guys call that? Your version of Jurassic Park.
It's the Red Lot.
The Red Lot. Okay. So, I've only seen that on TV. It looks dope. The one in Edmonton, the Moss Pit, looks dope. I mean, I'm from Toronto, so we have Jurassic Park, and then on Leaf games, it's Maple Leaf Square, these similar viewing parties. But it would be cool to meet, you know, people who have similar interests, who have a few bucks on the game. You know, we commiserate together, we celebrate together. Those kind of social activities really where we want to lean in on for SN Bets this year and then moving forward year 5, year 10, and see how that grows.
In terms of future bets, we talked about player props. Obviously,
yes.
Future bets are a huge thing, too. I know it's maybe sour for some Flame fans that are listening, but I was checking a couple of days ago. I couldn't believe how low the odds were for Connor McDavid and the Conn Smythe. I'm guessing that's changed a little bit, Cabby.
Yeah, I don't know what number it was a few days ago. It's now, I think, plus 700. Because, I mean, this guy's rewriting.
It was plus 16 you know, 2 days ago, so.
It was what? Plus 600?
Plus 1,600 2 days ago.
Oh, plus 16. Oh, yeah, that's a huge move. Obviously, you know, this kid is, he's in the company of Wayne Gretzky. That's it. Like, and I think maybe Lemieux, but, like, every time he's adds a few more points to his box score, there's like four Wayne Gretzky seasons and then the current Connor McDavid season as far as production goes in the playoffs. I think maybe there's that one Malkin season in 2009 where he had like a similar number of points, but that was, you know, Malkin, they won the cup over Detroit in 09 and Connor's still in the second round. So futures bets are a lot of fun. I believe Cale Makar is the leader in the clubhouse. I think he's around plus 200 or plus 400. And then Andre Vasilevsky, another guy who we're witnessing greatness right now. The second number two in Conn Smythe futures right now. Connor's on that list and Shesterkin's on that list. It's fun. And I might sprinkle, and I think Goudreau, I think it's plus 6,500. So that's a super long shot. I hope your guys get things together and I hope they force a game seven. Cause you know, who would benefit would be us, the audience. It would be unbelievable theater. And like the whole country is looking at this province. And if there was a game seven and it was electric, it would be amazing for hockey.
No doubt about it. And I think, you know, even just making this a bit of a series going six would be nice. But yeah,
you know what? One game at a time.
That's right.
You know, that old cliche rings true.
Let's get to Saturday night, and then we'll worry about that after. Saturday night in Edmonton for game six would be a lot of fun. Cabby, this was awesome, man. I know we derailed it with a little Verk talk, but we'll do this again soon, man. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for jumping on. We had a text that comes in. I don't know if you have any info on this, but text that came in talked about if you have any info, they would love to hear it in terms of our sports bettors in Alberta. Any idea in terms of sports books and maybe when things are opening up out here? Because as you mentioned, it's exploding in Ontario, and that's maybe the biggest footprint right now in this country.
That's true. I don't have any line of sight on Alberta yet. I tried to download the Play Alberta app, but it was it needs some work. So hopefully there are, and I don't know what conversations are happening in the legislative halls here, but hopefully the marketplace does open up with a few more operators, because competition is good for the marketplace. And if there is a genuine interest in sports betting in Alberta, as I believe there is, then it'll just it will benefit those who like to wager a few dollars here and there and get in for the fun of betting. And again, I know and I recognize it is not for everyone. So I apologize if people who are listening are turned off by it. It's not for everyone. It's for people who just want to add a layer of fun to enjoying their sports.
Are you leaning Avs or Blues tonight?
Man, I mean, the Avs just beat them twice on their home ice. Like, they did not hear Gloria. Like, they prevented the in-house arena DJ from pressing play on that track. So I'm leaning as like the betting market, because I think these guys just want to get it done, and they're so talented. Husso's given up four goals a game so far in this series. Like, you're not going to win many hockey games when you're giving up four goals. So I lean Avs tonight.
Yeah, me too. I don't think they want to get back on that plane to St. Louis. They'd like to stay in Denver. Cabby, this was outstanding, man. Thanks for the time. We'll do this again soon. Appreciate it, Cabby.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation, fellas. Take care.
He is Cabby Richards. You know him, you love him as Cabby. He joined us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. 13-time Consumer Choice Award winner. Check him out tonight for dine-in at 6060 Memorial Drive, Northeast. I told you it was a good surprise.
It was a great surprise. That was awesome. Two of Canada's best there.
We'll have Verk tomorrow in all his glory, and we'll find out whatever show he's going to tonight on Broadway. We'll find out how that performance was. But yeah, that was awesome. And thanks to those who stuck in and listened. As Cabby said, I know it's not for everybody, and I know there is kind of the feeling from some, Logan, that it is kind of being jammed down your throat. But the point is, and the truth is, that it's sooner or later going to start dominating the market. So it's exploding, and I know that it is fun if you do want to put some money on the line and have some skin in the game, as Cabby says. Obviously, play responsibly, but it is a big space, and it's only getting bigger. So thanks to Cabby for jumping on. You can find SN Bets on every social channel at SN Bets. He's Logan. I'm Will. Headlines coming up in a matter of moments as we move into hour number three. It's a Wednesday edition of The Big Show on Sportsnet 960.